If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Tawbid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We are still talking about the dress code or some of the religious laws and the Sharia laws about that based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Tawbid. Sheikh Tawbid, you know, we received an email asking us this question. Let me just read it for you. My sister is a student, she's 16 years old, and a believing girl.
She's careful about prayers and other acts of worship. She sincerely wants to wear hijab, but unfortunately, her mother forbids her to wear hijab and tells her that she will fight with her to prevent her from wearing it. Because she thinks that, she's at a young age, even though she's an adult and duty-bound. The girl's father also sees eye to eye with her mother in this matter. Should the girl insist on wearing the hijab and observing the Islamic dress code?
Well, such a thing does happen in some families, with the parents trying to forbid their child not to practice certain obligations because they think she's not at a proper age to mm-hmm. do this.
Yes.
And that is a matter of regret. I should say that a matter of I should say an unfortunate thing that we can see in some families. Generally speaking, it's not permissible for anyone to prevent someone from acting upon the commandments of Allah, those commandments which are mandatory, which are obligatory. And of course, every individual should carry out his obligation or her obligation, her duties, whether it is observing hijab, whether it is offering prayer or fasting. And of course, one should still, at the same time, should try to be careful not to anger one's parents or not to hurt them. But the parents have no right to meddle with the religious duties. They have no right to forbid their children from praying, fasting, and performing other religious duties. So the children are not supposed to obey their parents when it comes to praying, fasting, and observing hijab.
I see. Sheikh Javid, in one of the earlier programs, you mentioned that a woman is not allowed to use ornaments, let's say, to attract other people's attention. I mean, non-mahram, basically, right? And my question to you is that are a woman's eyes part of her adornment, that she can do anything to the eyes, for example, use shadows or any kind of apply cosmetics, you know, to the eyes?
Well, according to an answer I read from His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may he live long, a woman's eyes are one of the visible adornments that are excluded from the obligation of covering. So even though it is, you know, the a woman's eyes are beautiful, they look attractive, but she's not supposed to cover them, because she has to see things around herself mm-hmm. and to walk and not to fall in and trap over, you know?
Yes.
That's it. That's very important. So she's not supposed to cover her eyes.
I see. Well, what's the ruling, Sheikh Javid, on wearing a face veil? Is it obligatory for women actually to obey the orders of her husband or father in this matter?
Well, wearing a face veil is a good thing. It is, there's no problem or there's no objection to a woman wearing it. And sometimes it can be even better to wear it to protect oneself from the gaze of strangers. But covering the face is not obligatory in and of itself. It is permissible. It's not obligatory. So a woman is free to choose between covering her face and not covering it.
Mm-hmm. I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. Anshar Chawid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about the dress code or hijab and conspicuous clothes based on fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Chawid. Sheikh Chawid, is it permissible for a woman in a conservative society in which most women don't reveal their faces, is it permissible for this woman to uncover her face in that a conservative society or community?
It is obligatory for a woman to cover her body other than her face and hands, as we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, you know, important that the circumstances in which a woman lives are carefully considered, and that a woman should avoid wearing, you know, things that are, you know, that make her conspicuous. So it is permissible for a woman to cover her face, and if not covering one's face might attract the attention of strangers,
mm-hmm.
it's better, not obligatory, for her to cover her face.
Mm-hmm.
It is better for us to cover her face in order not to stand out as someone, you know, conspicuous, as someone who is eye-catching. So in order to be immune to the gaze of the strangers, it is better for a woman living in such a society,
mm-hmm.
to cover her face.
I see. Sheikh Chawid, is covering the neck part of the Islamic hijab?
Of course it is. It is necessary to cover the part below the chin,
mm-hmm.
but not the upper part of the chin. It is necessary to cover the part which is visible underneath or beneath the chin. And so when it is necessary to cover the part under the chin, it's also necessary by extension to cover the neck. So covering the neck is necessary, even though unfortunately we see there's some Muslim women, not in Iran, but in many other Muslim countries which I have been to, they do not take care of their hijab properly. We see that Muslim ladies, despite their being very practicing, they don't have a proper and complete picture of what Islamic hijab is. So they do not care about their neck. You can see their necks.
Mm-hmm.
While they are in the streets.
I see. Let me ask you another question before the end of the program, Sheikh Chawid. What's the jurisprudential law about a woman wearing thin, patterned, and colorful socks?
Well, it is forbidden for a woman to show her adornments whatsoever to non-mahrams. And non-mahrams means men outside her family. So if something is considered to be adornment, or it's called something zina according to Arabic terminology,
yes. mm-hmm.
then it is not permissible for her to show her zina or
right.
adornments to non-mahram men.
Okay, thank you very much, Chawid, for your nice answers and enlightening us actually with the answers to these questions of religious nature or jurisprudential nature. Well, thank you very much, my dear listeners, for joining us for the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. From me, Muhammad Jawad, and the rest of the crew, we bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun Mala ilaha illa
وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا